Well, happy freaking holidays, everybody. Tis the season, isn't it? Here we are. We are in the home stretch. Christmas just around the corner. All sorts of holiday action happening all over the world. Yes, it is a different year for the holidays, but we all already know that. We know all the BS we've been through the year. But 2020 is almost over. 2021 may start off a little bleak, I would imagine, but things are going to pick up. Business is going to pick up, and 2021 is going to come through strong. I can just feel it. I can already feel it. I'm sending these deep wishes to Santa. I hope he hears my wishes. Okay, so on to this episode of Oral Sessions with your girl, Renee Paquette, me. So Megan O'Leary is the guest this week, and she was one of the first people when I knew that I wanted to do this show. I was like, I got to get Megan O'Leary on. I'm assuming if you're listening to this that you know who Megan O'Leary is. She is just a mainstay with UFC, a cornerstone of their broadcast team. She does a fantastic job with them. She is so, so good. I hope Dana White is listening to this. I hope that anybody within the UFC is listening to this to understand the gem that they have in Megan O'Leary. Hold on tight. Never let her go. Pay her lots of money. She is the shit, I assure you. I feel like we're almost the same person. She's got the bob. I've got the bob. She covers UFC. I cover WWE. Her husband's a fighter. My husband's a fighter. We both have little dogs named Benny. We both live in Las Vegas. We both used to live in New York. But the funny thing with Megan, I mean, even before me getting to sit down here, so we have a lot of mutual friends, mutual coworkers. There's a lot of intersecting lines here. And I've never had somebody brought up to me so much of like, you need to hang out with Megan O'Leary. You guys would be best buds. She also cooks like a maniac. Oh my God. She seems like she's an amazing cook. So let me clarify. She is an amazing cook because when she came over to do this interview, she did not show up empty-handed. She brought me homemade banana muffins and like the best coffee in the whole world. So she is a gem. Megan O'Leary is the gem that you think that she would be. But anyways, I was so stoked to sit down with her. She's amazing. We got on exactly the way that I thought that we would. In this interview, her coming over to my house was the first time we've actually hung out. We've met in passing before, just a quick brief, hey, hi, in the hallway. We've interacted online, social media and whatnot. But this was our first actual hangout. So a best friendship is in the making right now. You guys are witnessing it here firsthand. But before we can get to this outstanding interview, I want to talk to you guys about some freaking cereal. The Magic Spoon. I got the Magic Spoon. I'm not going to sing the whole thing, but it keeps popping in my head when I think of Magic Spoon. You guys know I'm knocked up. And with that comes many different cravings. And for one, a sweet tooth. I've got a crazy sweet tooth. I've been giving in here and there, but the cool thing about Magic Spoon is it's like kid cereal for adults with all good benefits. But you know, as I'm just trying to take care of this baby, I have some good things in my body. I want to just go like full sugar and all that. So this seemed like a very great meet in the middle situation for me. This is working out for me big time. I got to try a plethora of their different flavors. There's cocoa, fruity, frosted, and blueberry. They're all incredible. Pour a little cold milk over them. Have them on their own, whatever you want. I had the cocoa ones and they just, they get that chocolate craving down pat for me. I love it so, so much. They're so, so good. So with Magic Spoon, there's zero sugar, 11 grams of protein, and only 3 net grams of carbs in each serving. They're keto friendly, gluten free, and grain free. So, I mean, these are checking off all the boxes. So what you guys can do is go to magicspoon.com/Renee and you can grab a variety pack to try it today. Be sure to use our promo code Renee at the checkout to get free shipping. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product that it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if for any reason you do not like Magic Spoon, you're crazy, but they will refund your money. No questions asked. Go to magicspoon.com/Renee, R-E-N-E-E, and use the code Renee for free shipping. Enjoy some Magic Spoon. You deserve it. We all deserve it. And now, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let's get down to it. Here's your girl, Megan O'Leary.
Day ever.
What a good time. I have never professionally and personally had someone like a person like yourself that we have mutual friends. We're like, you need to hang out with Megan O'Leary. You guys need to talk to each other. You need to hang out. That comes up all the time.
Yeah.
Anyone that we have as a mutual friend. And now we get to finally do it. And you guys get to be a part of the whole thing as we're recording it here for the people on Oral Sessions.
Greatest name ever.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see how the people react to it. I'm not changing it. I'm sticking to my guns.
As you should.
Okay, so we're going to dive deep here whole interview. We got to go back to the very beginning to little baby Megan. So you were born in Jersey, right?
I was, yes.
And then raised in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, raised for the most part in Pennsylvania, yeah.
Okay, and you are more of a, you're like a Yankees fan, right?
Yes, Yankees fan, Giants fan. Like, okay. Yeah, I got that because I feel like Pennsylvania can be split. Same with Jersey.
Okay.
Can be more like New York City or Philadelphia. I'm the New York City team.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. So you come from a line of wrestlers.
Yeah.
Right? Like, is your dad a wrestler?
My brother? Yep. My dad, my brother. My brother actually was a very accomplished wrestler. He wrestled for Team Pennsylvania and Junior Olympics, Team USA with like freestyle wrestling before he went to college. Wrestled with Team Foxcatcher for a while.
Wow.
Yeah. So we have some
crazy.
Yeah. They used to come home and have like insane stories.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so then he went to the Naval Academy. He actually ended up getting hurt when he was going to wrestle there. So he got hurt, had like four surgeries, and then like couldn't continue his wrestling career.
Oh, man.
I mean, he's almost 10 years older than me. So I just grew up like on that wrestling mat. I would ref little kids.
Oh my God.
Matches. Yeah. Work tournaments and stuff. So it was a wild ride there for a while.
Did you ever wrestle?
I wrestled as a little kid, but like unofficially, not like on a school team or anything. Yeah. And then so when you go to Catholic school in our particular diocese, you cannot have girls wrestle on the team, and you can't wrestle a girl. You have to forfeit if you're supposed to wrestle a girl. Yeah.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what do you just can't do anything.
No,
this is not for you.
Yes. I think now maybe it's changed. I mean, I haven't like really checked recently. I think maybe there can be girls wrestling teams.
Okay.
But like, I remember my brother having to forfeit, because there was a girl in his weight class for that particular match. So he couldn't, it's very interesting. So, I used to wrestle like, I mean, maybe till I was like 8. And then when you get to that age where it's like,
are we allowed?
This is weird.
Yeah.
My parents
starting to go through puberty. Yeah. It might be getting a bit weird.
Yeah. My parents are like, and you should sit down.
What other sports did you play?
So I played softball. I played second base and center field, and I was a gymnast.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. And that was like my passion, but I grew up with not a lot of money, and I was the youngest. And so, you know, there were other things our money had to go to. So I had to quit. I was pretty good. And so it's always like a little part
Damn
of my
it.
Heart. I know. It's always a little part of my heart that I'm like,
I feel like you would have like the perfect little gymnast body. You could just whip around and like,
I'm not tall. So they were like, hey, you got this. Yeah. So every once in a while, like I'll try and relive the dream and like go on the trampoline or like see if there's open gym for adults. But
You know what? I've actually looked into that before too. Cause I used to do gymnastics when I was a kid. And then I gave it up when I was like, oh, you know, I want to get more into the entertainment world.
Oh.
And yeah, I mean,
I knew that young.
I knew pretty young that I wanted to get into it. But I think it's because people kind of always dangled a little bit of a carrot for me of like, I was always like a bit of a ham. And they're like, oh, for some reason, everyone's like, oh, you can go do modeling, which is like not something I would ever consider right now. Not that there's anything against that profession. It's just not something that I would. I'm the worst at having my photo taken. Mm. Like, horrible at it.
So awkward, right?
I can't do it.
Okay, this makes me feel better. So I was like, sorry, photographer.
And I feel like people never understand that with us because, like, we're on camera all the time. But people want me to take a photo. I'm like, I do not know my angles. I don't know what side is better than the other side. Like, I just can't get my shit together.
Yes.
But I have looked up trying to do, like, adult gymnastics.
We're having a date night.
We should do this.
We're doing this.
So we live on a golf course. I went to go do, like, a little tumble situation. And I hit like, so I hit my round off and then did like my jump into what could have been a back handspring, but I would have torn my abdominal muscles. Like, there's no way I could do it anymore. Once you hit a certain age and you think you still have the capacity to pull something off.
Yeah.
Those days are gone.
We need like trampolines and pits.
Yes.
Yeah, you know,
we need a foam pit. Yes. 100%.
Okay, we're going to work on this. We're going to have a date night to be continued.
Yes, we will make these dreams come true. I'll post it somewhere. It will happen. Okay, so your family, you had two brothers?
I have a brother and a sister.
Oh, a brother and a sister.
Yeah.
I would have taken you for just brothers.
Yeah, you would think, because I'm like a boy.
Are you always a toy boy?
Always. Yeah. I mean, always. I feel like people probably thought I was a boy if they looked at me for certain parts of my life. Yeah.
Same. Everyone always thought I was like in Hanson. Yeah. I looked like I was in Hanson. It was like traumatizing.
No, I feel like that's like kind of good because they like were very beautiful men.
They were. They were. But I was like a mixture between like Mbop and like Kurt Cobain.
Oh, okay.
It was not a great situation.
No, I would wear like Wu-Tang Clan hats too and like just hang out and play sports with boys. So yeah, for a long time I was a tomboy. I feel like I still am. I feel like that's why it works to have the career path that we've had like in sports. I think you have to have a certain like mentality and be used to being the only girl in a lot of situations. And
you need to know how to handle that.
Yeah. Certainly. And I don't know how to say this without sounding weird, but like not look for a particular kind of attention.
Like this is how I've always approached it. I just want to do a good job.
Yeah.
I want to be good at my job. I want to, you know, to a certain degree be recognized for doing a good job. But as far as just going in and like putting on a cute outfit and slapping on a highlighter,
right?
That's not what I'm looking to do. Exactly. I would always drive our makeup team crazy because I'm like, I gotta go. I need to get out of this chair.
Oh my God, that sucks.
I need to prepare. I can't just be sitting here all day. And they're like, I would drive them absolutely bonkers.
Or I'd be like, sorry, I'm not talking. I have 8,000 things to memorize. Yes. I need to go over these stats and I need to look at everyone's Instagram that they've posted on their story today. So like, sorry, I'm being quiet. They'd be like, did I do something wrong?
I'm like, no.
Are you okay today?
Yeah. I'm fine. I'm just busy. I'm busy and have a lot on my mind. Because you guys don't use teleprompters at all, right? Like, it is all up here for you.
Yeah. So when we were with Fox, in studio stuff did have a teleprompter.
What a dream that is, right? Like, I'm getting paid to do this. I'm just reading out loud.
Yeah, I know. But you're really good at it and I'm really terrible. So it would not benefit me to have a teleprompter. It'd be like, ooh, do you want us to just take that away?
It can be a little tricky. It can be.
Yeah, it's not something I do naturally. It takes like a lot of work to be semi-decent at it for me.
Yeah.
So it actually benefits me to just do everything from memory. Even like sometimes if I'm doing like a backstage locker room, I will have pre-written it. If it's just audio, that way I can just kind of look down and do it. I suck at those.
Really?
I will write it and then like through the night, like take a couple of glances and then I won't read it anymore. Because the first few shows of this COVID era when I couldn't be in the locker room, like doing it on camera, they're like, hey, just do it audio. You can read it from whatever you write. And then I like would mess it up. I wrote it and I know what I'm saying and I just couldn't do it. So now I'm like, okay, let me just recite this from memory.
Yeah, I would sometimes get like that too. Unless I am reading something verbatim, I can just like hone in and get that done. But if it's like memorize all these certain things and like with WWE, they're very particular about this line, this word, these things that like you get hung up on like, oh God, do not mess up this word that needs to be said or who knows what shit's going to hit the fan.
Yep.
That I would totally just get in my own head. I'm like, so long as I know what my out is and I can hit that, I can throw to whatever package,
then I'm good.
Then I'm good.
Take it away.
On to the next. So were your parents always very into this career path for you when you started to get into this?
No. So it's crazy. I went to college for political science. I wanted to be like a campaign manager.
This is fascinating.
Yeah. Never in a million years. If somebody said, hey, you'll be like a sidelines reporter or, you know, whatever you want to liken my role now to.
Sure.
I would have been like, okay.
Like, and like crushing it, by the way. Like you really do an exceptional job.
Thanks.
Truly.
I try.
No, you really do.
I don't even want to say like I wasn't like into it because it never was even an option. It wasn't a possibility in my brain. It was never something I thought about. And so finally, like, I would just not shut up about the Yankees during some of my internships that they were like, why don't you do this as a job? So I was like, all right, well, can I make money doing this?
Hell yeah. Get that change.
They were like, yeah, you can. I'm like, okay. So I tried. I did a little web show for like an hour. And I was like, well, that was really easy because it was what I would be talking about outside of work.
Right.
I'm like, all right. And this is way less stressful than politics. Like, I wasn't really into politics. I just felt like I could do well at it.
You worked with Megyn Kelly, right?
I did, I was her intern during the 2008 presidential election.
Man.
Yeah.
Like, that's high stakes.
Yes. It was extremely stressful. I learned more from her than all of my college and master's education combined. She, triple checking your sources and not even, if you have a research team, you still don't rely on them for your research, you know? And I remember somebody did an interview. It was an entertainment show. And this was when Sarah Palin was running for vice president. And it was kind of set up as like women who are in politics and in the news during this election season. So it sounded like a really nice pitch and a very cool thing to be a part of. So they get on set and I'm just like fetching coffee or whatever it is. And it turned into this whole different piece. It turned into like a very like negative kind of like a gotcha game.
Oh, God.
And the way she handled herself, like whether you like her or not, just to be put into that position and the way she handled herself like a professional, I will never forget that day because I just felt like it taught me so many lessons on like so many different levels of how to conduct yourself and, and things aren't always going to go as planned. And, you know, you always have to be a pro no matter what and treat people better than they might've treated you in that opportunity. So she was a very tough cookie, but I'm very grateful.
It's a good place to cut your teeth though. Like it's, you'd rather be in there with one of those like pit bulls and really learn the ins and outs. Yep. I mean, I feel like before you get into, you know, whether it's politics or even into our line of work, you hear some of these horror stories about how people can behave and how things can be. So to really get like that, like hands-on experience to see how that goes down.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in a situation like that where you feel like you've had to kind of keep your cool while someone's trying to take advantage or put you in a weird spot?
I mean, I wouldn't say necessarily. I think that there's sometimes been some difficult positions with like having a husband that fights and then kind of like asking questions you'd prefer not to be asked.
Yeah.
And like, you're like, why, like, what are you trying to get out of this? But I feel like I try to know what's happening like as much as I can before I go into it, but it's just that people's nature, right?
Of
they want to get a headline.
They're nosy.
I mean, and I'm sure you've had to deal with it where you're just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I was put in a really weird spot. I've talked about it a little bit in other interviews, but when I first started doing commentary, and it happened at a very interesting time that my husband was off for a long time with a tricep injury, which turned into a staph infection. And it was like, which turned to MRSA. It was like,
oh my God,
really bad. Anyways, not the point of that story, but that did happen. But anyway, so I'm on commentary and then it's his re-debut. He was like jacked. He kind of changed up his look. He was about to start working as a heel. I was just calling him as a wrestler. I was not calling him as my husband, but it would change week to week. So some days I'm just calling a Dean Ambrose match and then I'd be getting like poked and prodded with questions about my husband while doing commentary. And I was not seasoned enough as a commentator to handle that. Because like also knowing
who really is
like to figure out how to navigate that world of that like gray area where I know how hard he's worked on putting together this character. I don't want to like shit all over by being like, oh my God, it's my husband. And like, oh my God, it was just like so much pressure to try not to like mess that up. So, I mean, luckily he ended up leaving. So that made my life a little bit easier. Sure. That made my life a little bit easier. No doubt about it. Oh my God.
Sure.
So back to like more of the political stuff before we get into more of your career. I feel like I saw you, I don't know if you tweeted this or it was on your Instagram or something, but do you plan on running to be the mayor of Las Vegas?
It's on my bucket list. Yeah.
Tell me about this.
So, okay. That is something that I've always wanted to do, like enact change in my community.
Hell yeah.
This is like way before I even like had this career or lived in Las Vegas. I just always like was very passionate about the changes that you can make for the positive for the people around you. And I'm sure you feel the same way when you move to Las Vegas. It's like a small town, even though it's a big city.
Yeah.
And I think the events of October 1st really kind of made us all realize how fortunate we are to live here, but how much we need each other because we're a city where people just come to spend three nights and go crazy. And that's great. Like have your bachelorette party here and have the time of your life. But we live here. I don't want to like talk shit, but I feel like maybe Vegas isn't the best it's ever been.
Sure.
There are some issues in terms of like the residents and outside of what people who visit would see with like, you know, a little bit of trouble with some crime and our education system and our medical
I always hear the education system here is not very good.
Yeah.
Which is a little scary as somebody that is currently with child. Knowing this, it makes me more invested in what's actually happening to me because it's going to affect me on a completely different level now.
You know, I grew up watching people have opinions about him now, and that's fine. But like Rudy Giuliani kind of take over New York City and change how a lot of things were going and how it was perceived by visitors, where a lot of neighborhoods were made safer and there was a lot.
I mean, you look at how New York was perceived in like the 80s.
Exactly.
You know, it's so different.
And I'm not saying everything he did was right because it certainly wasn't. But you just see that the power that somebody can have to do things for the better. So yeah, that
even I'm all for this because that's something that I found when I mean I moved from New York here and then obviously from Toronto through way of all those as well. But when I first got here, I was like, what is like the community here? What happens? What are people up to? I mean, other than like the only things that I can draw on, even just from like a creative standpoint, is like Market in the Alley and like First Friday, some of those things that exist that I think are great. I just wish that there was more of it.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I love that stuff.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, it can just, it can be better for everybody.
Yeah.
It can be better for visitors. I mean, we don't need to have like these fees where it's $80 a night.
Totally.
You know, that are making people not come
of
here.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, you can get a hotel room for like moderately cheap where you're looking, but then they like jack up all these other fees and like, yeah, they
exactly.
kind of meet you in the corner here.
Exactly. So yeah, that's on the list for
all
sure.
Right.
I used to think it would be way far in the future, but even just recently, I was like, Joe, I feel like I really need to do this. So I think I need to start with like city council and then go from
yes.
there.
Yes. Oh yeah. My God. Start planting those seeds. Make that happen. That would be so cool.
Oh my God. Thanks. I feel like everyone was going to think I was so foolish for wanting to do
that. No, I think that's like, I think it's just an incredible thing. I mean, it's not something that would have entered my brain as a thing to do because my brain just doesn't work like that. But for you to be someone's like, no, I'm actually going to step in there and like make some changes.
Yeah.
Like, great. I'm like, oh, I'll write a blog about.
No, that's like, I don't know.
We'll do it together. Yeah, I'll bring like snacks and stuff.
I hope it's snacks from your cookbook that I pre-ordered just
yay!
Now.
Thank you.
I'm so proud of you.
Oh my God, I can't believe that it's real. It is so much work doing a cookbook.
I cannot imagine because even when I just share a recipe, I'm like, fuck, this is a lot to write.
Well,
down.
I know because you do those a lot. I mean, your cooking videos are great. You and your gnocchi and your pasta and your like pasta drying.
It's nothing like
your it's fantastic.
It's just tradition for me. You know what I mean?
Which I'm very jealous of, by the way. Do you do seven fishes
okay.
on holidays?
I don't at my own house.
Okay. I've always been fascinated
by this. Growing up a little
bit.
I don't love the seven fishes.
Oh, okay.
I love the tradition of it, but I don't necessarily love each dish. But we do try to have like...
Are they all traditional dishes?
I mean, you can kind of do it like modernized. We just have seven different seafood dishes.
See, like, I'm done with that.
Yes, which is more of what we will do. Mm-hmm. Like if we go to my grandmother's, we'll have like calamari and then shrimp and then bacala and like pasta with clams.
Oh.
Kind of like do that, but not the super traditional.
That sounds incredible. Last night I did a pasta with tuna in it, which I've never done. It always used to seem like something to me that I thought was gross.
Oh no.
But now my pregnant taste buds are like, what is this dish?
Yes.
And I made it and it rocked my
Was it
world.
Red sauce?
No, I did it in like... So I kind of bullshitted because I didn't have all the ingredients on hand, but I just did like garlic. I didn't have cream. So I just used like 2%
milk.
Who does? No one has cream on.
No. Not unless you're like,
unless you're preparing for the holidays,
which
I was not when I was making this, but I just did some, frozen peas, the tuna and like some chili flakes and just a little spice, a little rigatoni and noodle pasta.
It's a very Lenten thing. So we always had spaghetti and tuna fish for lunch.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It's a delight.
Truly.
I'm adding it into the mix. It does.
People
it didn't
like,
sound like something I wanted. Maybe a little lemon zest in there would be nice.
Okay.
I think that might be a nice
little
touch.
Invite me over next time.
Yeah, done. Done and done. Okay. Back to work and career things.
Sorry.
So we're talking about you kind of seeing the way that Megyn Kelly is when she works, the way she's able to handle herself. You've now been able to develop this amazing career for yourself.
Thanks.
And you always come across as very authentic and genuine. And you just seem like a really fucking nice person.
Hey, thanks.
To just sort of piggyback on that, I often get told the same thing. Has that ever been a problem for you of people wanting to take advantage of the niceness or feel like,
100%.
It happens all the time.
Yeah. And I think it's like such a double-edged sword for women. I wouldn't say that it is for men particularly, although I can't speak to that experience. However, I feel like...
We will guess.
Right. Yeah. We're guessing. I feel like we just get that one comment. I'm like, you don't know what it's like. It's just in my nature. It's just who I am to like want to talk to the camera guys or like during the COVID era, the team that sanitizes all of our stuff. Like, I'm not going to not talk to them.
Of
like,
course.
What are they up to? Like for our Halloween show, they have these sweet costumes and like, you know, it's just part of me to want to talk to everybody and do extra work and want to help the team and just always kind of be that way. But it can put yourself in these positions where they're like, oh, Megyn will do it.
Of course.
Like, which I don't mind if there's like appreciation or like acknowledgement, right. That kind of thing. And I'm not doing it to like get praise, but it's like, hey, thanks for helping.
Yeah, you don't want to just be like, well, faithful.
Right, exactly. But then if you kind of give any pushback, it's like, well, she's a bitch.
So here's the thing that I've always found crazy is that I think because, and I'm just guessing on this because I feel like it's so unexpected from you or I to behave in that way that if we were to do it, it would be jarring to people and freak them out.
Yes.
Where I've seen many other people just behave like that and people just accept it and they get praise, perhaps even a promotion.
Yes.
It's crazy to me.
I want to like make a real life emoji of like the pre-chance because I could not agree with that more. It's almost like whoever you are on day one is who you are.
You set
and like
the tone.
Yes. And so if you're a bitch and you treat everyone badly and, or, you know, you are a guy who just is very demanding or whatever, or has a bad attitude off camera, that's who you are. It's like, it's just them.
Yeah.
But then, like, if you have a bad day or, I don't know, you're worried about COVID. I don't know. Just stupid
anything.
Stuff.
Anything.
It's not okay. You know, are you all right? I don't know about you, but I feel like I put in extra effort to acknowledge if, okay, I'm like, for instance, when Joe got COVID while I was at work and I wasn't home with him, so I was super worried. I was literally in the middle of interviews. I had like 6 interviews that were lined up. I think I had 1 or 2 done. I got up from my chair. I'm calling him. I'm calling to get him a test. Like, so I wasn't like the most Megan that I've been, but then I like have to think in my head, like, well, I don't want people to think like I'm being a bitch or like I did something wrong or they did something wrong. So like, then I'm trying extra to be nice. And I'm just like
the overcompensating.
Yes, yes.
It can be such a burnout too, right?
Total burnout. And then it's like, it's not like you're pretending or anything like that, but it is just extra energy where you're like, freak. Like
yeah.
I was only like at work for 4 hours today, but I feel like I was like on a 12-hour shift because the mental and emotional and spiritual like energy you're using is just
you're burning
a lot.
The candle at both ends.
Yes.
So
yes.
Is your husband like that?
No, he is the nicest human being. Like he's like the mayor of the UFC PI. Like he is just, hey, like friends with everybody, which makes him late for everything, but he's just like, he is so genuinely kind and almost oblivious to if people have another opinion that like it doesn't even come across his radar to think that way. I'm just like, oh.
Yeah, but it always blows my mind. I mean, I did an interview with John on here because he's very, when you meet, I mean, you've met him in passing before, but he can be, depending on when you get him, if he's had a couple cocktails, hey, how's it going? And he told me when he like saw you and like met you and stuff. I wasn't able to be at that show, the one in Jacksonville, but he normally, if you just catch him in like a regular day, he is like in his own world. He does not, like, he doesn't go out of his way to like shoot the shit with everybody else the way that I do. So, and sometimes I see the way that he behaves. I'm like, man, he's so much more protective of his own energy than I am.
Yeah.
Where I'm like giving my energy to everybody in the room. And then I'm like, oh, give me a glass of wine and a snack. Shit.
No, I felt like I creeped John out when I saw him.
No, he was like, she's so nice. She's so tiny. She's so nice.
he was with maybe a friend or colleague or something.
Yeah. I think he was with Tony. He was with Tony Khan. Like,
hi, are you Renee's husband?
I did the same thing to your husband though once. I saw him, we were at one of the UFC events and he was up in the like Budweiser.
Yeah.
He was like, are you Megan Levy's husband? Hi.
Hopefully he was very friendly.
He was. Okay. He was very, very nice. Yeah. I complimented his outfit. So he was good.
Then you're his best friend. That's all he needs is an outfit compliment.
More to come on the outfits in just mere moments. Have you had any mentors throughout your career?
Yeah. I mean, that's a good question. I feel like Megan, whether she knew it or not, was sort of a mentor just by her example, in good and bad.
How long did you work with her?
Probably only like 7 months.
Okay.
So her, and then I actually, Bill Richards from Fox, I don't know if you had any experience with him. He kind of took over midway through our UFC and Fox partnership. And there were kind of all these stories of like him being really tough on talent.
Oh,
and, you know,
I love getting that note before you meet.
Yeah. You're
like, shit.
Great.
And how do I handle this?
Yeah. And I didn't have a lot of respect, I would say, from the person who had that role before.
Even better. Love that.
Yeah.
Love it.
So I kind of went in like nervous as I'll get out, like, oh man, this could be the end of me doing these broadcasts. And he's a man of few words, but he just believed in me and like made it clear, like, hey, you're gonna be great,
the best.
And that was like all I needed. And throughout my career, he's been somebody who I stay in contact with. He was the reason I had an opportunity to try to work an NFL game and then it went well. So, you know, as I'm in my third season with them now, and that was because he believed in me enough to just give me a chance. He wasn't like, I'm going to hand you this job. It was, you better hit it out of the park. Yeah. I think that you can.
Yeah.
And if you do, we're going to keep you on the team. And he's been really great. And like, he'll, you know, if I ask him for feedback or just his thoughts on certain things, he always gives that. And then, there's a guy named Chris Kartzmark at the UFC, who's one of our executives who I came in, you know, doing digital and, you know, very small projects. And he always believed in me, gave great feedback. So I'd say in the past 3 or 4 years, somebody I have always admired on television, but didn't know, but now is a friend, is Kelly Ripa.
She's fantastic.
You guys have very similar personalities, like so friendly, so welcoming. The first time I met her, it was in her house.
How did you guys become friends with them?
So my husband and her husband worked on a show together.
Oh, okay.
And they had mutual friends. The guy's name is Jonathan Tucker, who's one of our best friends now. He's on Kingdom and Justified and a bunch of other shows. And they all just got along. And they were like, hey, you guys are in New York. Like, come over to our house for dinner. And here's Megan.
Oh my God. And they're like, what's in your closet?
I was
like,
what are you keeping your closet? Oh, she showed me her closet. I was like, this is the greatest day of my life. I was like shaking. I was so nervous.
Because,
I mean, you grow up. And not that she's old. I don't mean it like that. But
no, but she's like, she's a cornerstone. She's a legend. I think for anyone in our line of work, she is at the tippy top of like, oh my God, how do I get that?
She's the gold standard.
And she just does it with such ease. Yes. And she also just has this like bite to her that I find so charming and fascinating, where she's not just like on there being like squeaky clean and nice. Like, you can tell that she would be like, no, bitch.
Yeah.
This is how it's getting done.
That's exactly it. And like, she treats everyone like with such respect. Like, so we come into her house and she's like, hug. I'm like, oh my God, Kelly,
bring it in.
What?
But that then, tight little butt.
Oh God. Tiniest.
Come on.
Tiniest little fit, like thing she's could ever imagine. Her children are the greatest kids I've ever met.
They're stunning.
They're like, hey, let me take your coat. Would you like a drink? I'm like, oh my God.
Come on.
Like, what? And she has been, not just by her example, but she has been like somebody I go to when I just want to talk things through, when I want to get her perspective on things. Yeah. And you know what? I just have to say this because it's something that has like bothered me in the past year or so. She is like genuinely one of the kindest, most generous people you will ever come across in your life. And when I see like how people sometimes talk about her online, it is infuriating to me. Like, I want to go fight those people in real life.
I don't know her at all. I have never met her. And when I see people like just like passing comments, I mean, people are like that on the internet about anyone that's on TV in general. We've all received our like fair share of that.
Yes.
But like, for her to take the show from what it was, from like it being with Regis to them with Michael and now with Ryan Seacrest, and she has been that mainstay. She makes that show.
Yes.
It's her show.
Yes.
Don't get it twisted.
No. And it's
anybody.
Like,
anybody.
And I guess it just has to do with being on camera. It's a position you put yourself in unwillingly. Sure. Like, we're not asking for this.
Of course.
But it's like, you don't know the kind of generosity she gives.
You don't know what
life
goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah,
you don't know what the day to day is. You also don't even know what it feels like to have, like, I don't know what it feels like to have that kind of pressure of doing a daily show like that.
Yeah. It's a lot of times observers who just think they get a vibe watching someone through a lens. And it's like, there's also, you're also removed. So that lens does change who you are,
of course,
to the viewer. You know what I mean? So you can be like, you know, giving millions of dollars away every year and it's still not good enough vibe like wasn't right on a Tuesday morning.
It's just, it's so exhausting. Again, I know, you know, you sign up for these jobs and you seek out these careers, but it just, it's not always just this easy thing to navigate.
Right.
Like, at the very top, they're dealing with these insane things.
Yeah. And you just have to, like, I don't know about you, but like the voices can be so difficult where it's like, you can get 10 or you can get 9 great voices and one says something. And for some reason, that one just sticks with
you.
You know what I mean?
Of course.
So it can be really challenging.
My bulldog just farted in the room, everybody. So I would just like to apologize.
She's the cutest dog. You are the best welcoming community.
If you happen to hear snoring in the background, it's because my dog is sleeping at my feet.
Put him to
sleep.
Just
happened. You've been able to do a shit ton in WWE. By WWE, I mean UFC. You've been able to do so much there, and you've become such a cornerstone of those broadcasts. Thank you. I actually at one point pitched to WWE to use me the way that UFC uses you.
Oh my gosh, that's really awesome, and they should have.
The problem is getting the head of creative to respond to you.
Tough times.
Tough times. It can be tough times. But I think the way that they've been able to incorporate you with your like walk and talks and the cool camera angles and being there for the fighters' entrances and stuff, yeah. It's been fantastic.
Thank you.
I really, really love the work that you do.
Oh my God.
Really into it.
No, it's fun.
What else do you want to do there?
You know, I would love to be able to do those for every walkout or yeah. every fight. I would love to be able to add to each fight story, because mm-hmm. I'm sure that you've felt this way before, but it's like everyone has such an interesting background and a story that deserves to be told and has all these, like, even if you tell somebody's story because they're an active fighter and that, you know, there's still always more layers to yeah. undercover. So yeah. for me, it's like, that's what I would love to do, is just add to that. I would love to continue to do more of those. I think our camera angles are so cool.
Yeah.
I've like pitched, like I watch award shows and see some of their moves. I'm like, can we do something like that?
Give me a swoop. Give me a great swoop.
That's what I wanted for our Apex, because we have a balcony. I'm like, can I get a swoop yes. up or a swoop down? Just tell me I'll wear pants. you know, but I would love to do those. I mean, hosting is something I like doing. I wouldn't say I'm as passionate about it. I'd like to be able to just, I would just like to be able to be like, okay, somebody can't do this role. Like Megan knows how to do it. She can yeah. kind of fill in.
Yeah.
But in terms of like dreams, I'd love to continue to do what I do with UFC on a bigger scale, more walkouts. Kelly,
girl,
being able to like do stuff like that.
Hell yeah.
Just talking to people from all different backgrounds.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but like, I feel like we're very similar in our personalities. So I'm sure you're the same, where it's like, I don't do well with like a lot of downtime.
I'm horrible with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I feel
horrible. With
I feel
it.
Like I'm wasting, and I don't want to say like I'm wasting my talents, but it's like I'm wasting my days. Like I could be contributing to something. I could be yeah. doing something. I could be helping a team. I could just be doing more.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like whatever keeps me growing as a professional mm-hmm. and keeps me busy
yeah.
is what I want
to
do.
You know, that was sort of one of the things that ultimately led to my decision to leave WWE. It was, I was just like, I've kind of done everything here that I feel that I can do, and I don't feel like I'm growing anymore. So it's time to go. And it's, you know, it's sort of that weird time in between of those like growth spurts of like, hey, well, I've left that abruptly.
Right.
Now to figure out what to do. But kind of to your point, it's like even just doing this show is like, I love talking to people. I love talking to people. I'm interested in people. I love people's backgrounds. I love their stories. And that's the thing that I want to be able to like expand upon. And yeah, just, yeah, to be able to help tell other people's stories.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes.
I find it all very fascinating.
Yeah.
Really cool.
People are so cool.
People are cool.
And yes. it's like, how, you got here from there? It's like, whoa, let's connect yeah. those dots.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Mm-hmm. So connecting more dots. You and your husband, how did you guys meet?
Oh my gosh, he's the best.
Now we're getting into some relationships.
Yeah.
Because I mean, again, you and I live essentially very like parallel
yes.
lives that we were, you know, I was doing basically the same job for you as you, but for WWE,
yeah.
with UFC, we both married these husbands that are cool, badass dudes. We both have a little dog named Benny and
yes.
a bob haircut. What can I
yes. say? Oh my God, that's so true.
Right?
And we both kind of live in the same parts of town, but
yeah.
opposite.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Very fun. So I met Joe in the lobby of Mandalay Bay in 2009. I was with my two best friends, who are still my best friends to this day. We just graduated college.
Oh.
And we were like, let's go to Vegas.
Young, fresh meat.
Yes. And so before I started graduate school, I was like, let's do this. Came out to Vegas. We were actually helping one of my bosses at Fox with some stuff. And so we came out. I met Joe in the lobby.
Mm-hmm.
He was with some other fighters. We were cute girls.
Of course.
They were cute dudes. And they were like, hey, do you want to come to, I think it was like Tryst.
Okay.
We're like 22 years old. We're like, okay.
Yeah.
Went to Tryst. I talked to Joe the whole night. We actually like fell in love by quoting Will Ferrell. The Best of Will Ferrell DVD. Do you remember
wow.
this from back in the day?
Yes,
yeah.
of course.
So we just quote, he said something to me from the DVD and I was like, oh. My God.
I'm in love.
Yeah. So we just kind of quoted back and forth. And Joe's sober. So
yeah.
he wasn't drinking. And I'm like 22 and was having a great time getting drunk.
Yeah.
And I found that to be like kind of interesting that he was so at ease with himself and comfortable with like within his own skin and having fun. And so I was like, oh, yeah, this is like, I didn't need to like get drunk or not that I did. I don't mean to assume that it was
no,
like that.
I mean,
but I was like 22, you
yeah.
know. We ate burgers together. At the end of the night, he's like, do you have email? Ah! I was like, it's 2009. Yeah, I mean, but he had like just gotten a computer.
Okay.
For like the first time in his life. Oh my gosh. So he's like, can I have your email address? So I gave him my email address. We emailed back and forth. Then we started.
It's like a real Meg Ryan situation over here.
Yes. We started talking on the phone and then we would like Skype and stuff. I lived in New York City and was going to school and working.
So you were not working for UFC at this point?
No, no.
Okay.
I like knew Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz and that was kind of it.
Yeah.
I started my master's program and so it was in the Bronx and I lived in Manhattan. And so because Joe was in California and I was in New York, we were on different time zones. I would call him on my way home from the Bronx because I was like always a little nervous.
Yeah.
But, you know, just making sure everything was all right. So I'd call him. We talked the whole way home. And then I worked a morning show. And so I had to get up at like 4 o'clock in the morning. Oof. So I would call him and he was going to bed. So we would kind of talk then too. And our communication was so easy and like natural. Like we'd be on the phone for 3 hours and not even realize it was 3 hours.
The best.
It was the best. And then finally, yeah, we started seeing each other and, you know, we lived cross country.
What was the first like seeing each other again since the burgers?
It was the best. And it was just like, we couldn't stop smiling and we were laughing. But I will say, and I always tease him about this, we went for Thai food and I paid for it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Again, we have a lot of parallels.
Really? Wait, tell me.
So I was also living in New York when John and I first started
dating. This is crazy.
He was living here. We were both obviously at WWE at the time.
Oh, okay.
He didn't talk to anybody at all, but he would always talk to me. And everyone's like, why is he talking? Like, what's going on here? Because I didn't know he didn't talk to anybody. So we would always just talk, but we would use Voxer, this like old like walkie-talkie app.
Oh, I remember this. Yes. Yeah.
So we would use that and we would talk all day long. And we would see each other on the road, but it was always just like sort of like casual. Hey, how's it going? Whatever. No interaction had actually happened. So when it finally came time to be like, are we just like best friends or are we going to get it on?
Right.
What's happening here? So he kept saying he was going to fly to New York to come visit me. And I was like, ew, you're going to come like stay at my apartment. And then like, what, I just have to like sleep with you. And then like,
that. Oh,
what?
Right. That's a lot of pressure.
Like it just felt like
and
this
New York
weird,
apartments are like this big.
Oh my God. Totally. Yeah, you've got away. One bathroom, yep. Like all these yep. horrible situations. So I was so stressed out about it. So I kept canceling on him. He came to meet me in Orlando. I was doing a show with NXT. So I was like, okay, we're on neutral territory.
Yeah, it's better.
It's fine. But he was really funny. I mean, he ended up getting his own hotel room. He was like, I always just assumed that he meant that he was going to come stay with me. He's like, no, I was going to get my own hotel. Like, I'm not like totally impeding on you, whatever. But yeah, anyways. So, but he, a lot of the times, and it's my instinct to take out my wallet to pay for everything. And he would just let me do it. And I was like,
yes.
Okay, how long is this going to go?
Right. It's like, also, I live in New York.
Yeah.
I don't really have that much extra money.
Totally. My rent's insane. The taxes yes. are insane. Like, buy me a beer. Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Actually, one, like, funny side story of when we first started dating. We went to the Union Square Market.
Oh, fun.
And it was, like, Christmas time, and we were buying all these beautiful things. I was like, let's have some hot apple cider. I didn't know that hot apple cider makes you shit your pants.
Oh my God, what? I didn't know that either.
What? It messes up your insides.
I'm like shook over this.
So was I. So we're at Union Square Market. I'm like, this is so great. And then my stomach's like, my stomach starts like freaking out. I'm like, I need to go home. I don't know what to do.
Oh,
I did not know how to get out of the situation. So he's aware of what's happening. We're in a cab.
Oh no, you told him?
Oh yeah. He finds it funny. And again, you have an apartment with one bathroom.
Yes, that's right next to wherever else.
Oh my God. I was like, you have to stay. You've got to give me a couple minutes. I got to go up ahead of you.
You didn't turn the shower
on. And he's like poking at my stomach. I'm like near tears.
Oh
no. It's not funny. Dying. Yeah, it was very upsetting.
Oh my God.
Yeah. We've been married for a little while now.
No, it all worked out.
We've been through some shit. So you guys first started dating and then you joined UFC after that.
So at the time he fought for the WEC, which was owned by the UFC. It was just the lighter weight classes. They hadn't merged yet. And so I would go to shows with him. He'd be like, hey, do you want to come to Denver this weekend? So I'd come, I'd go to his fights, but I'd also really just kind of go when he was a guest fighter so we could hang out. And because of my family's background, like my brother and dad being wrestlers, but then my grandfather was a Navy champion boxer.
Oh, hell yes.
Yeah. And then his brother, so my great uncle, was a professional boxer. So
okay.
I had like a very natural understanding of combat sports, or at least those two disciplines.
They all must started to love you. Like, who's this girl? Why does she know all this?
Yeah. So I, as Joe, like, and like I said, Joe is like the mayor. So he's friendly with everybody. And so I would, you know, just kind of like ask questions or make conversation with people. They were like, do you want to do this? I'm like, well, I guess. Like,
yeah.
I'll do anything that pays me. Right.
Hell
like,
yeah.
And so I got offered a job in Vegas that was a digital covering of the sport. It was before the UFC's TV deal. So they essentially were paid by the UFC to do the pre and post show for pay-per-views. And so it was more money than I was making in New York. Not by a lot,
hell
but it
yeah.
goes.
Take what you can get.
Yes, it goes so far. And so I was like, well, I can always move back to New York and be poor.
Or you live in Vegas and you're rich.
Yeah, exactly.
It's crazy.
The first apartment building I went to, I had kind of scouted some out online, but I didn't have any friends that lived here. I didn't know anything. I was like, well, how much is this? It had like granite countertops. It had a fireplace. It was a real one bedroom.
It's like $1,100.
It was $700. I was like,
I'll take it.
I was like, do not.
I'll take
this
three
away.
Of these.
I'm like, let me sign. Like, this
yes.
is amazing.
Blew
and
my
I just,
mind.
I just felt like I knew something special was with Joe. I'm like, it's closer to this guy I really like. And if none of this works out, I can move back.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't have anything that was my own in New York. So it's like, I wasn't giving up like my house or my car or this or that. Like,
yeah.
I really didn't have anything. And I'm like, why not take this risk? I probably will never regret it, even if I fail, but I will regret
not doing it.
And
yeah.
I was going to regret not trying it with Joe. So then when I moved to Vegas, I was like, listen, I know that like you're a very cool fighter and like you're a cool guy with friends and everyone, but like we're going to, it's you and me.
We're buckling it down.
Right. Or it's not. Like, it's not going to be like you and me and then like you're in Sacramento having fun. Like, it doesn't
sure.
work like that. So he was like, okay, let's try. And that was probably like 2010-ish, maybe beginning of 2011. And
yeah,
we've been together since.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's the best.
He's so great.
Was it ever weird for you guys working together?
No, I wouldn't say it is. Like, I love interviewing him. I feel like we both know how to turn it on. I think because I'm sure you guys are the same. Like, he respects what I do so much
mm-hmm.
that he doesn't want to fuck it up for me.
Yeah.
And then I respect him so much as an athlete that I want to give him like the best platform I can. So it works out really
yeah.
well. I used to work all of his fights.
Yeah. How was that? It
okay.
must be hard, right?
Yeah. The first ESPN show we ever had, Joseph was on the card. Traditionally, I step away when he fights. I set a timer on my phone for like the number of rounds and the minute rest in between.
Mm-hmm.
And I go pray. And then I, when the timer goes off, or somebody will come get me saying like he won early or whatever.
Okay.
We were in Brooklyn. And like I said, it was the first fight card we had with ESPN.
New Barclays?
Yes. They kept bringing me fighters to interview. I was doing interviews until halfway through the second round of Joe's fight. And the problem was I could hear the crowd. So I think it was in the first round. The crowd went nuts. And I'm interviewing Cowboy Cerrone, right?
Yeah.
Love him. And he's Cowboy's known Joe and I since the beginning of our relationship because he was in the WC as well. And he's like, girl, your man's fighting. I'm like, I know. I hear the crowd going and like my heart just stops. I'm like, this is either going to be really good or really bad.
Uh-huh.
So I just kind of look at the PR team and they're all going,
oh,
and I'm like, okay. So I was like, all right, we're good. I was so stressed. So finally, it was maybe the end of the second round. And I just went and I was like in the loading dock. That's where we were doing our interview. So I like crouched behind a production truck. I'm just like praying and waiting. And then he won. So it was great. But like that for me is the challenge. Like
yeah.
I like working his cards because it's a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not like a nervous mess like I traditionally would be.
Sure. Sometimes when I'm watching John with his matches, you know, it's obviously a different situation than it is for you guys. But still, I mean, even when I was like in the hotel watching him do like blood sport, which is like a different like work shoot style
okay.
wrestling. So, and I'd never seen him in that style. He'd never done it before.
Ooh.
He really wanted to do it. And this was only back in October. So yeah, it didn't happen all that long ago, but I remember being like so stressed, so nervous because he just wants to be a badass.
Exactly.
He wants to fight people. And as much as there's times that I'm like, oh my God, I gotta like watch this like through my hands
mm-hmm.
and like, is this okay? And he does all these like crazy like deathmatch stunts where he'll be bleeding and he's like taking tacks into the back and all these horrible things. Now he kind of gives me a bit of a heads up on things happening in his matches.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yes.
Because when we first started dating, he wouldn't. And like, because he was like very like old school carny wrestler.
Oh, really?
Didn't tell me shit about anything. So I would just be watching it firsthand and be like, oh my God. Like he came home, he had a match with Kenny Omega. And I was watching it at home and they just did the most crazy shit. He walked in the door. I was like, take off your shirt. Because he like had all this glass in his back. I was like, give me like a full 360. Yeah. I need to assess the damage. But yeah, he's a glutton for punishment. He loves it.
See, that is challenging. And I think that's like when you know how hard they work.
And they love it.
They want it. But the threat of injury is there.
Oh, yeah.
And that's like the scariest part. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like you want the best for them because they're great people and they work for it. You know, they're the epitome of like work for your dreams, right? But then it's like, okay, also please don't get hurt.
My biggest thing with John is slaps to the head. That's the one that I'm like, oh my God, of everything you do, please just stop that.
Yeah.
I hate it. I hate it so much. It's like, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine, babe. It's all fine. Always stresses me out.
Yeah. Psychopath. It's our nature.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. So wrapping up here, we're almost done.
Oh my gosh, I never want this to end.
Should we just like start our own show?
Is this show?
Is this it? Are we doing it?
And we even have like the hair color that goes for
it. I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. It just works. Something about it just works, guys. There's no denying it.
There's no denying it.
And my final question to you, when are we going to see DC in a WWE ring?
Oh my God. So like, I think like as soon as humanly possible, if it's up to him. I feel like he's the perfect guy for it.
He's 1,000% perfect for it. He will crush. He would be so great.
Because the shit he starts, like, off camera and just needs to be funny. You're like, Daniel, oh my God. And so I feel like he would not, I mean, you saw that interaction with Brock
inside
the Octagon that one time.
Rocked my world.
Yeah. And so, and I like love Brock. So
I love Brock too.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like, I don't know if people.
No, I love Brock. I think he's like a very sweet little cowboy.
He's the nicest.
He really is. Yeah.
So when those two had beef, I'm like, you were the two of the nicest people ever. But when they had that interaction, like this
terrifying
needs to happen.
Yeah.
And I think if it's up to him, he'll do it like tomorrow.
It's really funny when you see guys like that, you know, can be like total sweethearts and then they turn it on. You're like, oh right. You're fucking terrifying.
Yes.
It always blows my mind.
Yeah. I think Daniel would be so good. I think quite a few of our athletes would be good at it. I mean, I heard Henry Cejudo like wants to do
it. Yeah, I saw that
too. He's just so corny enough for it. And like, again, like doesn't care.
He was like trying to call out one of the Bella twins at one point.
Yes. Yeah. Still comments on her photos, I think. Because I like see her. And I'm like,
I'll keep an eye out.
Yeah. No, I think some of our guys, I think it's so interesting when we do have the crossover because I know as athletes, they respect one another. I'm not sure what the fans like feel like in those regards, but I know like, cause they kind of like, they'll go to each other's shows. And I mean, when we came to that show in Vegas,
it
was a row full of UFC fighters living the dream.
Well, you know, when you have somebody like Ronda Rousey step in and the way that she adapted to the sport and the way that she adapted to the entertainment side of it, that was something that really opened people's eyes. Because, yeah, there can definitely be like that crossover. I mean, as you know, UFC fans, super passionate. WWE fans, super passionate. And that crossover can get a little bit muddy sometimes on, you know, people's perception of each of the sports. But, yeah, when you have somebody like Ronda Rousey or even like a Kurt Angle when he stepped into WWE
and
how quickly he was able to adapt to that just blew people's minds. He's one of the absolute best to ever do it. But, yeah, you got like Brock, Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
Some of these amazing.
King Mo, I think, wrestled too.
Yeah. Yeah. There's just so many, like, the crossover is amazing. But yeah, when you see some of these big talents and these big personalities in UFC, you're like, okay.
Uh-huh.
I'm kind of waiting for Paige VanZant to make the move. I feel like she's going to.
I mean, well, first off, she has a look, right?
Of course.
Like, yeah.
She's got a look, a little personality.
Yes. And like, Paige is super talented. Like, she's so athletic. I think oftentimes because she is like so cute and, you know, she's blonde and attractive and sometimes that
takes a spotlight.
Yes.
Yeah.
She is athletic. I mean, some of the stuff that she pulls off, some of her biggest wins have come because of her athletic ability.
She's doing like bare knuckle fighting next, right?
Yes.
Jesus. At like during Super Bowl week?
I just saw
that recently.
Renee,
guys, I'm in on the,
I got it all. I mean, bare knuckle.
That's wild.
That's something that not a lot of guys would do. Totally. So I think she is trying to get away from that
pretty girl
persona.
Yeah.
Yeah. And show that she is, you know, a serious athlete and has a lot of capability. So yeah, I think she would be incredible.
Well, this has been fun. We finally did it. Blue just wrapped us up with another quick fart,
Benny
which
is awake.
I appreciate. Yeah, Benny is now joined the party. Thanks for coming to do this. This is a lot
of fun. Thanks for having me. I'm so honored. And I just need to say, like, she is everything that you think she is. She's so great, so kind, so welcoming. Between, like, the DMs from years ago and, like, we randomly met in a hallway one time at an event. And you were so kind and generous and, like, there's not a lot of people like Renee, and I think you should all be so grateful that she's doing this because she's the best.
I will say likewise to Megan in the sense that I had COVID, and you're like, do you need anything? I'll bring you something to your house. Like, people don't normally do that, and it's very, very nice. So, a budding relationship, everybody.
Mine and Megan's friendship blossomed before your very ears and or eyes. Don't forget to check us out on YouTube, like, subscribe, because there's videos all up there. And eventually we're going to be releasing the entire interviews, the video version for you guys to feast your eyes on that. See what we look like in real life, if you so care. Anyways, I loved sitting down with Megan. I mean, I can't say it enough. I feel like, dare I say, we should host something together, like maybe some kind of co-host situation. I don't know what it could be, but I just feel like there could be a very cool thing in the future where her and I can maybe work together. Wouldn't that be awesome? I'm manifesting it right now. I just feel like there's such an easy, natural connection between the two of us that I feel like it would be a smash hit success. So, I mean, whoever's listening to this that thinks that that's a good idea, that is within power to make something like that happen, hit your girl up, me or her, you know, slide into our DMs. All right. So guys, thanks so much for listening. Have a great holiday. Enjoy any bit of time that you might get to spend with your loved ones. I know the year's so weird and we're not really getting to see our families the way that we're used to during the holidays. I mean, maybe you're seeing your family through Zoom or you're doing something on your own or just keeping things super small. I feel for everybody out there. I know it's odd, but it's all right. Next year, we do all the holidays big. We go hard. We're going in. Mark my words. I'm buying all new decorations and everything. I'm going to wipe the slate clean. Next year, it's on. But enjoy your time with your family. Enjoy the loved ones. It's not about the presents. It's about spending time with people that you love. Never forget. But, you know, if you found a good gift, then amen. Good for you. Maybe you got them from a local spot, a small business. That would be nice. I highly recommend that. Anyways, before I duck out of here, I just want to give another quick shout out to Magic Spoon because they are the shit. I'm a cereal addict. I love, especially, oh my God, middle of the night, like waking up and having a bowl of cereal with some milk. Ugh, such a dream. God, I think I like legit want some now. That's the way pregnancy works. You like think about certain foods and all of a sudden you like have to have it. Anyways, their cereal absolutely rules, but it's not full of all the sugar and junk that's in all the cereal that we used to just smash when we were kids. So this is like adult versions of the cereal that we all grew up on and loved. The great thing with Magic Spoon, there's zero sugar, 11 grams of protein, and only 3 net grams of carbs. In each serving, there's cocoa, fruity, frosted, and blueberry flavors, all incredible. Again, the cocoa one has been my favorite one right now, but that's chocolate's just talking to me. They're keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. Really doing it all. Doing the most, I would say. So yeah, definitely you guys want to get your hands on these, on the Magic Spoon cereal. Maybe start off the new year, treat yourself to some new cereal. Can cut out on some of those carbs. We all know how hard we've been going on our carbs. Don't point any fingers at me. I already know. Okay, so go to magicspoon.com/Renee and grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code Renee at the checkout to get free shipping. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product that it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they're going to refund your money. No questions asked. You cannot lose with this situation. Get on it. So head on over to magicspoon.com/Renee and use the code Renee for free shipping. That's R-E-N-E-E. All right, guys, I will see you next week. We've got another lady in the hot seat. We're doing like ladies week up here on Oral Sessions and I like it. Make sure to tell people about this podcast, you know, tell friends, family, coworkers, a neighbor, whoever. Let people know. Spread the word. Bye.